I know as a church family, we are rejoicing today in sensing the Lord's presence, but we're also thankful for his comfort and the grace that he gives us, as many have been praying for the Konyas family and celebrating the homegoing of Lloyd and Sandy. And yesterday it was a beautiful day of the expression of the body of Christ. And so we are so grateful to all those who helped serve and all those who helped pray and all those who helped even attend. And if you couldn't be here, that's okay too. But God was honored yesterday, and we rejoice that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great hope we have. Well, we've been traveling together on Sunday mornings. I hope you've been walking with us on a journey. We've been going and singing, hopefully, songs. If there's new songwriters among us, let me know. It's one of the things I enjoy doing is writing songs. And I enjoy hearing others who write songs. It's just a beautiful expression and of worship and praise, especially to the Lord. And so we've been studying together Psalm 120 and going to Psalm 134, these 15 psalms called the Song of Ascents. And these are journey songs, pilgrim songs. Some scholars believe, well, that, you know, they were sung as the nation of Israel were instructed to go to the festivals, to go to the city of God, the place where God dwells, Jerusalem, the presence of God, to go into the temple and to worship him. And so as they would journey there from wherever they were, they would sing these psalms. Others say, well, right out outside the temple in Jerusalem, there are these steps that go up. And you can see tourist groups, and maybe you were part of one, and you would step on a step, and you would read the scripture of Psalm 120 and take the next step and read Psalm 121 and so forth all the way up until you entered in the presence of the Lord. They're beautiful psalms. And we this morning are in Psalm 124. I would title this psalm, Living in Alignment with God. Have you ever had your car, the tires, get out of alignment? Now, maybe some men say, oh, yeah, man, we know exactly what that is. Well, I do not have that gift of mechanics. And so it takes a lot for me to know when the car is out of alignment. Now, the new cars, they tell you when you are out of alignment, don't they? They have all these gizmos and gadgets in there. So if you start straying off because you're so involved in the conversation, and I know you don't look at your phone while you're driving, and, you know, you're veering off, and the car just starts beeping, beep, 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 brings you back in alignment, right? Alignment. I believe this psalm is really speaking about living in alignment with God, and we're going to look at that. Another area is, and I'm not an expert at this at all, I marvel at this, the Tour de France. And if you're a bicyclist, maybe you are, you know, dabbled in it a little bit. But in 2022, it just finished, July 24th, it just ended. But the Tour de France, it covers 2,068 miles across 23 days in an epic test of endurance for about 176 riders. And they hope to wear the famous yellow jersey. And they're all skinny. You know why they're all skinny? Because they ride their bikes 6 to 7, 8 hours a day to get ready. And they ride very close. And if you've ever watched them on TV, if one of them gets out of the line, gets out of alignment, if they just even gently tap the other person, a whole lot of them go down. And they just wreck. And it's just ruined. The winner of this was Jonah Vingegaard. He won this year's Tour de France in 79 hours, 33 minutes, 20 seconds. Now, what they do is they spread the 2,200 miles in 23 days. So they do about 100 miles a day. That's a lot. That's a lot. Well, if we really want to get in alignment with God, we have to dive into his word. We have to get into the word of God. And Eugene Peterson said this, if we want to see God the way he really is, we must look to the place of authority, to Scripture, and to Jesus Christ. One of the beautiful blessings that we have as brothers and sisters in the Lord is gathering together each week in worship, in celebration of who Jesus is, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to get us in alignment with him. We want to get in alignment with him. Alignment with him. And so we gather together. We also can get in alignment when we get into his word. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 124 there, and I'll read first of all out of the ESV, and then I'm going to show you another translation on the screen this morning. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and so we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Wow. Alignment, it means a state of agreement or cooperation. And we are coming in the presence of God. We're wanting to journey, to go deeper with God. We're wanting to ask his Holy Spirit, Lord, search me, as the psalmist says. Search me and know my heart. Allow my life, bring my life in alignment with you. David here was credited as the writer of this psalm, and he pondered what life would be without God. Notice how the Living Bible puts it. Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, let all Israel admit it. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed alive by our enemies, destroyed by their anger. We would have drowned beneath the flood of these men's fury and pride. Blessed be Jehovah who has not let them devour us. We have escaped with our lives as a bird from a hunter's snare. The snare is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Beautiful truth here. David is writing and he is, first of all, declaring what God has done. Again, verses 1 and 2. What does he say here? What does the psalmist say? He says, if the Lord had not been on our side. Other translations say, now may Israel say, may Israel repeat it. May Israel tell us about it. May Israel answer and declare. May Israel sing out the message. May Israel proclaim it. If the Lord had not been on our side, what would have happened? In other words, I'm going to tell you that God has been on our side, Israel, and we need to declare what he has done. God's people need to declare what God has done and is doing, and even be so bold to declare what he is going to do. And that is so difficult for us. Sometimes we find that we can't declare because we're filled with fear. We're afraid. We're afraid of what others may think. We're afraid of what others may do. We're afraid. And so we don't declare what God has done. Sometimes we're so consumed with our own problems, our own faults, that we don't declare. We don't declare what God has done. Oh, what has God done? We know what God can do. Do you know what God can do? Do you? What can God do? He can forgive sins. If you have sought him and asked him for forgiveness, he can forgive your sins. We know the word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Hallelujah, that God forgives sins. And he gives us that ability and that enablement from his Spirit to forgive others. God does that. What can God do? Oh, God still wants to forgive. Peter says the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God still wants to save the lost. He does. He wants to save those around you who do not know him. We sang this morning, I love you, Jesus, right? You're all I want. And yet there are many that live around us, that live beside us, that may be part of our family members, that have no idea of the worth of who Jesus is and his love. They don't know. They're missing it. They don't know his forgiveness. They don't know his grace. They don't know when he walks into the room. Everything changes. They don't know that. They don't see Jesus. They don't see the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. They don't see the joy that he gives us, the acceptance that he gives, the healing that comes, the restoration of the soul. We as God's people, we need to declare, listen, this is what Jesus has done for me. He's given me that ability to love instead of show hate. He's given me that ability to give kindness instead of angry words. He's given me that ability to endure the hard things. He's given me the ability to trust him for physical healing, even though maybe it may not come. But I'm trusting him. He's given me that. And so I'm going to declare his praise. Let Israel say, if God had not been with us. God's still in the business to save. There's much that he wants to do. He still wants to supply his children's needs. There's still much that God wants to do on earth as well as in heaven. God wants to continue to work in your life. Hallelujah. God still wants to do that beautiful, supernatural, good work in your life. In your life. We're so easy to look, well, God, I want you to do a good work in their life. I'm good. No. I think we need to come on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to do a good work in my life. God still wants to do that. He wants to continue to work in your life. He wants to glorify his son, Jesus, in and through you. A beautiful passage of scripture. Hebrews 13, 20, 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of eternal covenant, look at 21, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What does that tell me? It tells me that God's desire is for his Spirit to work in you, through you, to do his will, to please the Heavenly Father. And in that, I become aligned with God. And God receives all the glory and praise, and I receive all the blessing of being in a right relationship with him. Wow, that's pretty good stuff. That is great stuff. God is still wanting to do that, equip you with every good that you may do his will. He wants to do that. He wants to do that good work. He's done a good work. He wants his gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to be proclaimed throughout all the earth. He still wants to answer prayer. He still wants to heal, and he does. And God begins to work. He worked in David. If you've read the Old Testament and watched his life, you've seen the ups and downs of David. You've seen where he's rebelled against God and sinned, but yet God forgave and restored him. The psalm is accredited to David as one of his worship songs to the Lord. And David here in this psalm, he's urging his nation, his country, his people to declare that God Almighty, who is the Lord, was on Israel's side. God was for Israel. His presence was seen. His power was felt. God was among his people. On a national level, God was with his people. And on a personal level, God was with David. This song testifies of the presence of God and the power of God, and it brought hope, strength, and deliverance in our time of need. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll do that for you and for me. Hallelujah. This reminds me as a worshiper that I recognize God's presence. I rely on his power to work in my behalf. I receive his strength in my time I need, and I'm relieved because of God's faithfulness. Why was he for Israel? Well, you know, they are a peculiar people. Why was he for Israel? Because of his promises. His promise, his covenant to Abraham, his promise to David, the Abrahamic covenant. When Abraham in Genesis 17, he was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I'm all God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." Have you reached 99 yet? There's still work to do. God needs still to work in you. He made a promise. And he says, I'm going to make my covenant between me and you that you may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face and he said, "Behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but you'll be called Abram, but you'll be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations and I will make you exceedingly fruitful." Why did God do that? Because of who God is. He also spoke to David, 1 Samuel 18:14, and David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. There were promises. So God was with Israel because of his covenant relationship with Abraham and with David. David cried out in Psalm 119. He says, "My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right." And then Psalm 145. 11 and 12 says, "They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." Speak. Speak what God has done. Speak what God is doing. Declare. Declare his praises. Declare his praises. Declare his praises. When I get my heart in alignment with God, I come into his house. I need to come in with thanksgiving and praise and declare his praise. Secondly, I see here that living in alignment with God means that I declare my need for God. Verses 2 through 5. My need for God. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. And then over us would have gone the raging waters." Wow. What needs did the nation of Israel have? What needs did David have? What needs do you have? Verse 2, it says, we see that the people were rising up against them. Their anger was kindled against them. Their enemies were enraged against them. And David declares, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, what would have happened? Well, they would have swallowed us up alive. They would have been devoured. What would have happened? The flood would have swept them away. The torrent would have gone over us. What would have happened? Raging waters would have gone over us. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been defeated, destroyed, wiped out completely. But God was with them. If you put your faith and trust in Christ and you are a follower of His, guess what? God is with you. Allow Him to work in your life, that good work. The Living Bible states these verses this way. We would have been swallowed alive by our enemies, destroyed by their anger. We would have drowned beneath the flood of these men's fury and pride. Sometimes when we walk on the path of life, we encounter those who are not cordial to the gospel of Jesus. They're not friendly to the gospel of Jesus. They may even resent us because we smile and they just growl more. You haven't met any individuals like that, have you? No. Israel here needed God to deliver them from their enemies. They needed God to protect them from their enemies. They needed God to provide for them as they journeyed to the promised land. They needed God. And sometimes God allows events in our life to point us to our need for Him. Yes, we need God to deliver. We need God to protect. We need God to provide. But in reality, guess what? We need God, period. We need Him. We need Him. And when I hear these verses, my mind immediately goes to the story where God delivered Israel from Egypt as the Red Sea departed and all of Israel walked through on dry ground. Could you imagine being there at that number? Wow, what a sight. And Egypt pursued them through the Red Sea, and then the Red Sea swallowed the Egyptian army up and they perished. It says in Exodus 14:23, then these Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just at before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and He threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. And when all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again, and then the waters will rush back over and cover the Egyptians and the chariots and charioteers. And so the sun began to rise. Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. And the Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one survived, but the people of Israel who had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. Wow. And it goes on in verse 31. It says, they put their faith, the Israelites put their faith in the Lord and in His servant Moses. God was showing Israel that He could be trusted. God could rescue them. God could provide for them, and He did. They saw God's mighty power unleashed. They were filled with awe before Him, and they put their faith in the Lord and in His servant Moses. David as well needed God to deliver him from his enemies, from King Saul, from the foreign nations, from the Philistines, the Amalekites, from Goliath, from his own son pursuing him, Absalom. He needed God's protection as a shepherd boy, as a soldier and king. He needed God to provide for him as he was on the run from King Saul and even from his own son. And David expressed his need for God in many of the Psalms. Listen to Psalm 40, verse 13. He says, please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. He also said in verse 17, as for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in His thoughts. You are my helper and my Savior. Oh, my God, do not delay. We need, as a people of God today, to be in alignment with him, to declare my need for him, my need for God. I have needs, but I need him more. I need him more. I want you more. I want you more. Thirdly, we see here, living in alignment with God means I declare how God delivers. Verse 6 through 8, he says, blessed be the Lord, who has not given us his prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Here, the psalm is blessing the Lord for sparing him from the teeth of their enemy, like a lion ripping to shreds an animal for food. The psalmist is lifting up praise to God for not allowing him to be shredded and ripped apart and destroyed. In verse 7, it says, we've escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We've escaped. Have you ever watched that show, Alone? Have you ever seen that? It's on one of the channels. Anyway, it's a series. That helps you a lot, doesn't it? There's a series, and they pick 10 contestants to go live alone in the wilderness, and they're allowed to bring and select 10 items with them. And they usually pick them and send them and put them in a real rural location, like in northern Canada or Alaska. And it's usually in the fall, and then, you know, winter is coming. And they have to make their own shelter. They have to get their own food. They have to get their own water. And whoever lasts the longest is the winner, and they'll get $500,000. But they're not there just for overnight or for a week of camping or for 2 weeks or for 4 weeks. Or they're there like 3 months, 2-3 months. And they show the contestant, and they basically, a lot of them are there, and they're experienced outdoors people who are talented in surviving. And you see them waste away because they're starving. They're trying to find fish. They're trying to find food. Some of them take, one of the things they can take is, you know, wire. And so they make these little snares. And they put these snares out on different areas to capture the squirrels. And they're hoping to catch squirrels so they can eat the squirrels and live for another day. And some of them are able to catch the squirrel, and some of them aren't. Some of them catch rabbits in the snare, and they're so thankful. I mean, they just are rejoicing. They break down and they cry, and they're just so thankful for being able to catch a rabbit to live for another day or so in this wilderness. Here, the psalmist is saying, we've escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. We've escaped. The psalmist compares himself to a helpless bird who's ensnared, but the snare is broken by God and the bird escapes. This pilgrim recognizes that he's helpless against the fowler's snare. And the snare could mean many things. It could be the dangers that this pilgrim's faced on their journey to be with God. The same could be, as one commentator suggests, many snares for the soul. They're everywhere, and especially where we least expect them. Snares such as temptations to sin, to misbelief, to unbelief, to compromise with the world, to doubt, to pride, and to many other such things. And their aim is to separate the soul from God and so destroy it. So the psalmist says, God has delivered us. I'm declaring how he's done it. He's done it. He's my help in verse 8. Blessed be the Lord. We've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The pilgrim turns to the only one who could really help him escape the snare, God. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He finds help in God's name. He finds help in God alone. He finds peace in God's name. All the anxieties and stress that weighs upon the soul is lifted when one gives them over to God. He's able to declare praises of deliverance and continue the journey. So what did Moses do? What did the nation of Israel do after the Red Sea swallowed up the Egyptian forces? You know what they did? They wrote a song. Moses wrote a song. He did. He was a songwriter. Exodus 15, verses 1 through 20. He wrote a song. And they were praising God. We've sang that chorus years ago. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Okay? I will sing to the Lord. Why? He has triumphed gloriously. He's been my help. He's been my deliverer. The Lord, verse 2 in Exodus 15 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Beautiful song of worship. They declare the Lord. And then Miriam, a little bit into that chapter, she declares the Lord. Sing to the Lord, for he's triumphed gloriously. When God does something, it's worth declaring. It's worth telling. It's worth celebrating. It's worth singing about. How great it is that we as a church can gather to worship each week and declare the praises of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What blessings are on your lips this morning? What blessings are on your lips this morning? What praises are in your heart this morning that you could declare to the Lord Most High? What has God delivered you from? What is he delivering you currently from? Declare it. It's worth telling. It's worth declaring. It's worth sharing. It's worth singing about. There's no one better to go to for help. No one better. Help is in the name of the Lord. He's the creator, the one who made heaven and earth. He is the pilgrim's help. He is the worshiper's help. He is the believer's help. We could take time this morning to focus on his name. This psalmist says, my help is in the name of the Lord. Do you know the names of God? There's names. His name is great. It relates to everything. El Shaddai, the Almighty One. Jehovah, the self-existent One. He is, and that is all you can say about him. He is. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's known in the relationships. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the faithful One, the promiser. He is our Father. He is God. And there's help in the Lord. Is there a need in your life today? Do you have a need for him? Do you need God's help? Is he your go-to guy? Or do you go to Angie's List and look for her? Or is God your go-to guy? Do you want God's help? Bring your cares before him. Let him deliver you from the fowler's snare. The Lord told the people of Israel through Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Blessed be his name. So there's three takeaways from this psalm that I find, maybe more. There's more here. But first is God's people need to declare what God has done and is doing and even be so bold to declare what he's going to do. So here's a little challenge for you. When you listen to the news this week and you hear something that's really bad or negative, not that you would hear that on the news, but you hear that on the news, stop right there and declare something of praise and worth to God. Just try that. See what happens. Second takeaway, sometimes God allows events in our life to point us to our need for him. Yes, we need God to deliver. We need him to protect and provide and heal. But in reality, we need him. We need him. We need him. And third, when God does something, hallelujah, it's worth declaring. It is worth declaring. It is worth celebrating. It's worth singing about. Do you know when we're in the presence of the Lord, guess what we'll be doing? We'll be declaring praises to him. For what? For what he has done. For what he has done. Not for what I've done. No, 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 no. And this may hurt. Not for what you've done, but for what he has done. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. For he has done great things. So if Israel, let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been our side, we would have been swallowed up alive. Because the Lord is on our side. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So when God does something, it's worth declaring, it's worth celebrating, it's worth singing about. So what is the Lord saying to you and me this morning? What blessings and praises are on your lips? Is there a need in your life today? Give it to him. Tell him. Call on the name of the Lord, who's our help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. How powerful it is. How thankful we are for the testimony of David and the Israelites and how you met them. You who are faithful, even in the midst of times of faithlessness, you are faithful. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Great are you, Lord. You are our breath and our lungs, and we declare praise to you. And we thank you for the mighty things that you have done. You've made heaven and earth. You've made man in your likeness. You've created us in your own image so that we could know you. And even though we sinned against you, while we were still sinners, you gave your one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God, clothed with his robes, accepted in your sight. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your holy word. We thank you, O God, that you are still on the throne and you are in control and that you're longing, you're desiring for men and women, boys and girls around us to hear the good news of Jesus. So may we declare the praises. May we declare your praises. May we be so bold to speak it in truth and in love. May we be a people who shine for you. Lord, thank you that you meet our needs. But Lord, that you show us that our greatest need is you alone. So move among your people today for your glory, we pray. In Christ's name.